Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of OEM TV. I'm Eric Mills with Microsoft. I do Windows Server Marketing, and we're going to talk about this mysterious beast called VDI, Virtual Desktop Infrastructure. Everybody likes talking about VDI. In this video, you'll get a really good overview of VDI. And so some of the topics that we're going to cover, first of all, are standalone VDI versus scale-out VDI, and the pros and cons there between cost and flexibility. So we're going to cover session-based VDI, where we actually show desktop sessions. We're going to cover pooled virtual machines and personal virtual machines. And Jim's going to talk about the differences between the three and the trade-offs that you have there, because that's an important decision that you'll have to make. We're going to talk about master images and differencing disks, also user profile disks and when it's appropriate to use those. Cost is a big deal with VDI. We're going to talk about ways to reduce costs and ways to think about how you structure your costs. We're going to talk about storage options, of course. You can't talk about VDI without storage. Remote FX we're going to cover. And if you've ever had a question about VDI licensing, you're going to want to check out the end of the video where Jim covers briefly how you license client operating systems to run in a VDI infrastructure. So if all of that sounds interesting, you're going to love the next 20 minutes or so where we talk about VDI and all the good stuff. Be sure to check out the second video as well where we actually do a demo of setting up VDI. So hope you enjoy this video. We'll see you next time on OEM TV.
Hello there. In this presentation, we're going to go over some of the basics of the Microsoft Remote Desktop Infrastructure, focusing on the implementation of virtual desktop infrastructure. Virtual desktop infrastructure is nothing new. We've been doing it for a lot of years now. The big changes were with Windows Server 2012 R2 with regard to installation, manageability, scalability, and performance. So we're going to cover some of these new features with Server 2012 R2 and drill down into why this matters and why you would deploy a Windows VDI environment. Okay, so remote desktop services in 2012 R2. The platform itself is very easy to deploy. We have an accompanying demo with this presentation that walks through the setup and config. Real straightforward setup. You can either do a standard deployment where you're scaling out your session manager, your RD broker, and your RD gateway across multiple hosts, and that would be a scale-out model. Or you could do a simple deployment, and it automatically just installs all the remote desktop services and VDI components on a single host and sets you up with a remote app collection so that you can start doing remote app management immediately. Server 2012 R2 also gives you a rich user experience supporting all the UI interface capabilities of Windows 8.x and Windows 10, including a live streaming, USB redirection, remote FX, and GPU support. So the deployment model, regardless of how you set it up, whether you're going to do a virtual machine deployment model or a session-based deployment model, you're going to get all these capabilities. There are three deployment models ranging from low cost to more higher cost, generally because of the storage and the management. But you can deploy VDI and remote desktop services just using standard desktops. And that means that the Server 2012 R2 machine that runs your session broker is the one that's actually hosting the sessions. So you don't actually have to have any virtual machines. It could basically just bring up a shell session on that machine. Depending on how you set it up, you'll have either a single user or multiple users that log on. You just make sure you have profiles on the machine for those users, and it's automatically going to load their profile, restrict what they can do with group policy, and lock down applications. The next model would be a pooled virtual machine model, where you've got one set of virtual machines that are shared across the board for everybody. And then you give people profile disks to store their different session state. Now, not everybody gets their own virtual machine. You've got one configuration that everybody uses, and then you have the choice of whether you want to allow them to persist the changes into the next session. So in other words, if I make a bunch of desktop changes and I log off my session, I have the option as an administrator to assign a profile disk, and it'll share all those session changes, persist them down to disk, and then reload them the next time they come in. That's obviously going to be a little bit more overhead and a little bit more administration to maintain, But for certain sessions and certain user accounts, you may want them to be able to persist their sessions. And then you could have just some standard desktops that no matter what you do during your session, it's lost at the end of your session, and you just come back in and you reload from a standard profile. The most expensive and the most flexible is the personal virtual machines setting, in which case you go through and you set up a Hyper-V host and you set up Hyper-V virtual machines, and each individual user gets their own virtual machine stored either with direct attached storage, CN storage, or a combination of the two. So customer needs and challenges will vary from customer to customer. We have enterprise customers that don't really have heavy needs for RDS and VDI, and then we've got some SMB customers that have total enterprise needs for RDS and VDI. It all depends on where you're going. But the challenges and the needs kind of, they align a little bit in terms of security and data access. So the number one need we hear about VDI is that customers want to be able to protect their assets. So you hear all these horror stories of customers that come in and say, okay, we just had a laptop that was left in a coffee shop and it had a whole bunch of confidential information on it. Or you get some sort of a mobile device that's left in the back of a taxi cab and you don't have any way to remotely wipe it. So with remote desktop services, you don't have that problem because the data never leaves the company. You just simply log on remotely and nothing is persisted to the device that you're using. So it addresses the security needs. And it also allows you to be more flexible in terms of what you want to expose or not expose. It reduced the cost and time to deploy new applications and updates, especially if you use application virtualization. We'll talk a little bit about application virtualization as we move through this deck, but AppV is essentially a sandboxed application environment. It's becoming more and more popular because you can basically package an application and then you can run the application remotely or on some sort of a desktop like a Windows 8 or a Windows 10 desktop. And it essentially sets up a sandbox environment. So even if there are parts of the operating system that are incompatible with that application, you can still run that application because it basically runs in its own little virtual machine. Easily and centrally administer many desktops and applications. This is all done through Server Manager and PowerShell now. Real nice, clean interface. And reduce consumption of bandwidth by remote users. We have now a tool called FairShare, which you can throttle bandwidth, CPU, and memory. So the challenges we're trying to address here is enable user access to corporate applications and data for unmanaged devices and locations. This is kind of the bring your own device theory. So if you had contractors that needed to get access to corporate data, you could allow these contractors access via either direct access or a VPN or a combination of the two. If you didn't want to do direct access and VPN, part of the installation of remote desktop services and VDI installs the RD Gateway, which is a web-based gateway that you can expose just a single application or an entire desktop environment. And then, obviously, the IT department is going to want to balance user requirements with corporate compliance. And there's always going to be that rub. So user compliance is going to be, our user requirements are going to be, hey, we need to get these things done. We need to be able to work from anywhere. Corporate compliance is, we have to do it safely. Okay, so the easy deployment, like I said, there's an accompanying demo that goes along with this slide deck that shows you the setup. Very streamlined setup. Basically, go into Server Manager, add remove services, and then you're going to basically see an option to install remote desktop services. So it's a very simple setup for VDI. You can create virtual machines and configure settings within Server Manager. If you've already got virtual machines configured, then you can apply those to your VDI environment. And then there is a wizard-based setup, and it offers you essentially two flavors and multiple scenarios. The two flavors are either going to be virtual machine-based VDI or it's going to be session-based VDI. Virtual machine, like I said, was just you have virtual machines, and when somebody opens up a VDI session, they're going to get a virtual machine spun up, and they'll access that virtual machine. All changes that they are keeping during their session can either be persisted down to a differencing disk with the virtual machine, or they can just be abandoned as they close the session, and then the next time they come up, they're just going to get the standard virtual machine. This eliminates the requirement to go out and patch everybody's systems, because all you really need to worry about is the patching of the machines that are running in the VDI environment. Anybody that's logging on remotely, basically you're isolated just using an RDP client. There is a wizard-based setup, and like I said, the setup is very streamlined on Server 2012 R2, walks you through, does a single reboot, next thing you know, you're up and running. Okay, unified administration. You can either use PowerShell, you can use Server Manager, but everything is centrally administered now. So it's one integrated console for all the roles, servers, and connections and the virtual machines. And this is, again, this is all done through Server Manager. There is a consistent publishing for desktops and applications. You just simply create either a remote app or a remote desktop collection. And then no matter what type of desktop you're publishing, whether it's going to be a session-based desktop or a virtual machine-based desktop, you publish it from the same place. Same with remote app. And the remote app is just simply for an application. You don't get access to the entire desktop. So as far as streamlined management for virtual machines, the scale on this is huge, especially as you start moving into a clustered environment. So all the RDS components are cluster aware. So if you did want to go with high availability, that is a supported feature. Using master images, a master image is really, we call it a gold image. And what it is, it's a Windows 8 or a Windows 10 image, which has all the basics. It's your baseline image that everybody needs access to. It'll probably have Office on there. It'll have some virtual machine settings on there. It'll have patch management on there. You know, whatever your standard baseline image is, that's where you start. And then from there, you may have a couple of other differencing files that, depending on what group somebody's a member of, they're going to get a specific base image plus a differencing file. And you can basically nest differencing files too. So if you had a differencing file that was for example, the IT department, and then another differencing file which was for the security group within the IT department, you could actually start streaming those differencing files and create custom images, and you're not using a specific set of disk space for each one of them. You're building on top of a master image. So the fewer images you can maintain, the better off you're going to be, because it's going to minimize the amount of storage that you have to maintain, and it's also going to make patching and servicing a lot easier. Avoid patch storms by queuing maintenance and updates, and you can obviously do this with virtual machines. You can just spin them up and update them. And it also takes advantage of Hyper-V, so if you had certain virtual machines that are very important virtual machines, you could actually set up Hyper-V replica with those as well. And it accelerates system preparation, optimizes logons, provides automatic rollbacks, so there's no bad option with virtual machines. Everything that comes with virtual machines is a benefit to an administrator. Okay, profile disk, we mentioned these earlier. All a profile disk is a separate disk other than the VHD file for your virtual machine, and it persists your changes during your session. Now, profile disks can be used to just simply store the changes during the session and then leave them, abandon them after the session, or they can be used to persist those changes for the next instance of a session. But it essentially stores user data and settings, and it's a separate hard disk. For performance reasons, we recommend that you, for large environments, use SSD disks for these, because this is something that the user will see a latency on. You can also use direct attached storage with Windows 8 and Windows 10. So if your differencing disks and your profile disks used a standard Windows path, you could store that locally, and then you don't have to worry about round tripping to the server to get to those profile disks. Okay, so there are a few options. So why should you deploy profile disks? Well, it gives you customization. It allows for a richer experience for the user. You can also redirect your local folders up to the network if you want to. So folder redirection is a big deal nowadays. So personalization is not necessary with all VDI sessions, but there may be, you know, some CEO, CIO, department heads that they just simply have to have persisted sessions, and their persisted session has to match and be consistent whether they hit it from one device, a home device, or a cloud-based device. So the consistency is very important. If it is very important, then profile disks are the way to go. And again, the performance with profile disk comes from the speed of the disk. So don't get caught up in a problem where you've got not enough IOPS to support the number of sessions that you're running. The more spindles, the faster the sessions, and obviously the faster the disks, the faster the sessions too. FairShare is a mechanism that basically is scales and load balances resources on a session, or I should say a session broker. So it prevents one session from monopolizing a certain set of resources, bandwidth, CPU, and I/O specifically. So FairShare is implemented. It was implemented with 2012, updated with Server 2012 R2, and it ensures performance when you're growing up and you're actually running at scale. Okay, so let's talk costs here. Personal virtual machines are going to be your most expensive option because you have to have an image, an OS, and an application data environment for each user. And each user has their own personal VHD file. So obviously most flexible, but it's going to take the most amount of storage and the most amount of administration. You can improve and reduce the administration by using application virtualization here, and that will reduce costs. So if you use application virtualization, there's less application support per virtual machine, and you virtualize those pieces of the application that you want to make available to everybody and make consistent across the board. Okay, next is pooled virtual machines. So pooled virtual machines is where you've got one type of a virtual machine, you're just spinning up another instance of it for each session. So you might have a standard Windows 10 desktop or a standard Windows 8 desktop, and then as somebody opens up an RDS session, you're just going to simply spin up a virtual machine and they're going to connect to that virtual machine, and that's how the remote desktop works. This is going to be less expensive than having personal virtual machines because you're not keeping a separate VHD or a separate virtual machine for each user. You've just simply got a pool of virtual machines, and as people log on, you just fire up one of the virtual machines from the pool. They are consistent, they're all the same, so they're generally going to have one system image, and then each one of the virtual machines as they spin them up are just going to have their main disk as a differencing disk off of the master image. And again, you can say whether you want to persist changes from session to session or not, but this is kind of right in the middle. It's less expensive than personal, but more flexible than session-based. Okay, same concept here. You've got storage of OS images, but there's fewer images to manage because you're going to base everything off of a master image. People are going to be sharing configurations. Okay, and then the least expensive, but the least flexible too, is session-based. With a combination of a profile disk. So session-based is just simply going to spin up a session from memory, I/O, and CPU on the session host. It does not require any Hyper-V or virtualization. It's kind of the old way we used to do remote desktop services. And this is a way that a company can get into using VDI, evaluate VDI, without making big investments in virtualization and storage. Okay, so this is going to be the least amount of server infrastructure and the least amount of management. And the setup is very simple. It's about a two-click setup within Server Manager. So if you take all these into consideration, there is some layers you can put across the board that's going to maintain a little bit less of an investment in infrastructure. So basically, you can save money by using application virtualization on personal VMs. And you can also, if you want to use direct attached storage, which would be SAS storage, for example, you might have a SAS controller with, you know, a JBOD out there and a bunch of SSD disks and SAS disks out there. So you could use, if you wanted to, direct attached storage on your VDI and RDS servers, and that's going to reduce the cost because SANs are expensive. So you can use a combination of, you know, savings in the storage, application virtualization. The big message here is pick the solution that works best for the scenario. And if you have multiple scenarios, there's nothing wrong with having a couple of different session hosts configured differently and just allowing access to the session host based on Windows groups. You know, everything you should be logging on to Active Directory before you do any of this. Okay, as far as storage options go, simple configuration is just everybody's got a virtualization host, or multiple virtualization hosts, and each virtualization host is going to maintain its own storage. If we wanted to scale that up, a Hyper-V cluster, you could have, you know, up to 64 nodes in a cluster, and you could use SMB3 as a remote access point for virtual disk. So when we say let's scale this out, that's what we're talking about, is scaling out where we're separating compute and storage. And this is simply a Hyper-V scale feature. And small, medium-sized businesses probably, you know, you see SMB in this slide, we're not talking about small, medium-sized businesses. SMB stands for server message block there. So SMB3 means that Hyper-V can remotely store virtual machine storage in either a cluster using a scale-out file server, or you could actually have just a file share out there with a file server running SMB3 and SAS storage. But what it does is it gives a lot of CPU back to the Hyper-V host. The only time this really matters is when you're running in a configuration where you're using Hyper-V virtual machines for your virtual desktops. If you're just doing session-based VDI, this is kind of a moot point. So scaling out a lot of times is going to have to do with separating your compute and storage and putting your VHD files out onto SMB shares. Okay, so we mentioned that there is high availability support. All the components in RDS support cluster and are cluster aware. So if you wanted to put these in a cluster, that provides you with a high availability option. And finally, RemoteFX is it's a rich user experience that basically allows support for just about every desktop capability and experience with Windows 8 and Windows 10, including a multi-touch environment. And we also have support for GPUs, which are graphics processing units, USB redirection, everything that we've got with local access to desktop and features and capabilities generally are now going to be supported with RemoteFX. So anything that you want to run with a client application, maybe it's an engineering application, maybe it's a scientific application, just something rich in graphics, the growth of different GPUs, both software and hardware GPUs, and the support for those in Server 2012 R2 was a huge leap from 2008 R2. So if you haven't test-driven RemoteFX on 2012 R2, you should try it. Okay, and then let's talk a little bit about licensing here. So how does Microsoft license desktop for VDI? Well, there's two ways you can license it. You've either got software assurance, and if your devices are covered under SA, you don't have to buy a VDI license. If you have devices that are not covered under SA, then you have to get a VDA license, which is virtual desktop access. And these are any devices that are not covered under SA. They might be personal devices, contractors, thin clients, whatever. If you're using a VDI environment, Microsoft VDI environment, and your device is not covered under SA, then you have to get a VDA license. VDA license are about $100 a year per device. So how many devices do you need? Simple calculation, since Windows VDA is based on the number of access devices, the total number of Windows VDA licenses required is equal to the number of thin clients or other non-SA devices that will access your VDI environment. Okay, so choosing the right deployment type, let's just do a quick review here. We got session-based deployment. It offers you the lowest level of personalization, but it's also going to be the least expensive. It's the most cost-effective. As far as application compatibility goes, all applications have to be compatible with the operating system running on the session host. As far as image management goes, you get 3 stars with that because you're not really managing any images. Everything is done based on memory, CPU, and I/O. Pooled virtual machines is right in the middle. You get decent personalization because you can have multiple types of virtual machines in the pool. Application compatibility is high because each one of the virtual machines can have different types of application support, different versions of applications and so forth, and you can go as high as you want. And then as far as image management goes, you're managing images, but you're not managing a separate image for every single individual. Cost effective is right in the middle because you're using some disk, Dirt-to-Test storage or SanDisk, but you're not having to maintain a separate virtual hard disk file for every single user in the company. And then finally, personal virtual machines. This is going to be the highest level of personalization because everybody gets their own image. Application compatibility is the highest because you can configure each one of the virtual machines for specific app compat features. Image management, you get a 1 on that one because there was a lot of image management with this, and the reason is because you have to keep a separate virtual machine file for every single user, and it's the least cost effective simply because what you've got is a lot of storage capabilities, a lot of system requirements, and a lot of management requirements as well because you've got a lot of VMs to manage. So this slideshow, quick and dirty, really more or less just to kind of cover what VDI and remote desktop services are, and this slide deck is accompanied with a demonstration on how to set up and deploy session-based VDI. Thank you.